Welcome to the Drummer Podcast from the Ruffed Grouse Society, in association with the American Woodcock Society. Now your host.
Welcome to the Ruffed Grouse Society Podcast. I'm Matt Solberg, the editor and director of communications for the Ruffed Grouse Society. I'm excited to start this podcast program. I think it will provide valuable information to members in the public on grouse and woodcock initiatives that are important to the organization. The podcast will be available online at www.ruffedgrousesociety.org, through social media, and also by direct emails to members. The podcast will cover things that are important to the organization, including habitat, forest management issues, grouse and woodcock ecology, legislation and policy that affect forest management, and also the thing that we all love, hunting. Now, without further ado, I'd like to introduce RGS Regional Director, Mark Fouts.
Morning, Matt.
How's it going today?
Fantastic.
Now, Mark's going to help us with discuss some exciting topics that are currently going on for the Ruffed Grouse Society. We're first going to talk about the creation of the American Woodcock Society and Mark's knowledge of some of the Ruffed Grouse Society history and also his involvement with woodcock directly. We're going to move on to Mark's work down in Louisiana with the inaugural AWS banquet down there in the Baton Rouge area. We're going to talk some general information about chapters, membership, volunteering for RGS, and some other things like that. And last but not least, if we have time, we're going to talk some hunting issues with Mark as well. Now, Mark, I'm gonna start out with a couple questions, just intro questions for you. How long have you worked for the Ruffed Grouse Society? And if you can, for people that don't know, what sorts of things do you do as a regional director for the organization?
I've officially been there 15 years, but this will be my 16th banquet season. And when I say 16th year, that means that I've been working with chapters in my region, and I have Minnesota. I have some of the southern states like Louisiana and Texas, and then I move out west to Oregon and North Dakota and Washington and Anchorage. And so when I work with these chapters, most of these chapters I work with is on banquets and fundraising. We have shoots, dog trials, youth days, anything that the chapters can do to gather interest for the Ruffed Grouse Society.
And sort of along those lines, you're working with a lot of people that are supporters of the organization, people that are passionate in their Ruffed Grouse Society mission. Being a longtime RGS staff member and also a longtime, even longer, supporter of the Ruffed Grouse Society, in your opinion, why is involvement in the Ruffed Grouse Society important?
I moved up to this region in 1988, not knowing anything about grouse or woodcock, and a longtime dog trainer, a man by the name of Joe DeLoya, got me involved with grouse and woodcock hunting, and also dogs and dog training and how to handle all those things. And he also told me back in 1990 how important it was that if you are involved in this sport, that you have to get involved and give something back to an organization that supports what you do. And I took that to heart. And I'm thinking to myself, some of the best grouse and woodcock hunting are in the Great Lakes states and where I live in Wisconsin. Why not get involved? And so I joined my local chapter. It taught me a lot about how important it is to support something that supports you. And, you know, because at that time, I didn't understand what a voice that RGS had or has now, a bigger voice, and what it means. And I think that when people get involved with something that they enjoy, it's so easy to give back and it's so easy to be involved.
What is it about grouse and woodcock hunting specifically that essentially makes you love that sport?
Well, there's nothing else like it. And when we talk wild bird hunting, I mean, there's wild bird hunting when it comes to chuckers and sharptails and huns and pheasants and quail and turkeys and ducks and geese. But to me, when you put it all together, there's nothing more exciting than grouse and woodcock hunting, being in the woods, on public land, the vast amounts that we do have up in the Great Lakes states, with your dog or with your friends. It's satisfying. If you are worried about your bag limit, this is probably not the sport, because it's tough walking, it's tough shooting. The birds fluctuate, especially grouse, for the cycles, but the reward far outweighs anything else, because again, in getting back to what I said originally, it's wild bird hunting. These birds are not being raised in any captivity, and they're tough. They're tough birds, and that's the challenge that I like. again, nothing wrong with the other birds. Nothing wrong with that. I applaud it because I do it. But this is king. This is king.
And you said the word challenge. That's the word that really affects me the most. Is, you know, it's hard. You know, you're busting through young aspen. You know, you're getting banged up. You're trying to follow your dog through the woods. And but it's the challenge that really makes it attractive for me personally. And I think the reward then, like you said, is something that's very important. You know, you're not going to be successful every time you go out. But once you do figure it out, the reward is really great. Do you sort of feel the same way?
Matt, I feel the same way. You know, the reward, the satisfaction. If you relied on this sport for table fare, you'd be very thin. But the reward far outweighs everything else. The reward, the satisfaction, the camaraderie, you know. And when you get done grouse and woodcock hunting, to me, you know you've had a great day. No matter what happens, no matter what you come home with, you've had a great day. More than likely, you developed a story that day. Every time I go out, it seems like there's a new story happening. It's usually with my friends or my dogs, the new story, or a joke on me, you know, something on that line.
It's those sporting traditions that we all kind of cherish too, which really are at a core of everything we do. So it all kind of ties together, which I think is great.
Correct.
The Rough Grouse Society recently announced the creation of the American Woodcock Society, something I think we're all very excited about and is an exciting step for the organization as a whole. What are your thoughts on the importance of creating the American Woodcock Society?
Way back when, like I said, when I got involved and back in 88, and this man took me under his wing, you know, he taught me about grouse and woodcock, but his passion was for woodcock. So I've always had that drive, that extra drive up for woodcock in the back of myself. With the American Woodcock Society, the reason why it was developed with the Rough Grouse Society is to give ourselves a better presence in the South. When we talk about the Rough Grouse Society, the majority of the people down south, you know, they might have read about a rough grouse in a book. More often than not, they've never seen a rough grouse. You know, we've been working on grouse and woodcock habitat since 1961. A lot of people think, well, the Rough Grouse Society, they just do rough grouse projects. So they work on, with the county, state, federal agencies. But everything we do with grouse, we do for woodcock, because usually that habitat grows into woodcock before it does grouse. But down south, when we were to advertise talking about the Rough Grouse Society banquet and the Louisiana Woodcock chapter, that's the first thing we'd see would be the rough grouse, and they would see our woodcock logo with the grouse logo, but it still didn't resonate with them. But now with the American Woodcock Society, that woodcock stands alone, and the southern people right now are very excited about it because they have a large role in the American Woodcock Society because, you know, these birds are migratory and they have the grounds down there, the wintering grounds. So these birds fly north to south. And so they know how important it is to have habitat down there, to have, you know, great, great habitat down there for the birds they eat. But they also know how important it is. And this was something that I learned here in the last 30 days, is they know that they need to do something down there for the woodcock, but they also know how important it is to do something for their nesting grounds up north. It's a dual role. A lot of times people say, well, you know, we're going to do something down here and not worry about, you know, up north, you know, it's just here. But the people down there that I've been talking to, they know how important it is to also spend their money up north, because to enhance the birds up north, because if we don't have a habitat up north, those birds don't come down south. And that was very refreshing to me to hear that type of attitude and forward thinking.
That's interesting. So it's almost like a team effort, you know. Since the woodcock are in both places and they migrate back and forth, you essentially have to affect the habitat. You have to benefit the habitat in wherever they're going to be.
The passion and excitement for the American Woodcock Society and the woodcock is at a fever pitch. I've never seen it that excited for, you know, when I say grouse people, because if you look at the quail numbers are dwindling in the Louisiana area and Texas area and Alabama, they're not what they used to be. You know, they don't have the pheasants. As far as bird hunting with your dogs, this is it, woodcock. And they are very excited about this bird. And again, I didn't understand how excited they were. I thought they were kind of like, you know, groups of pockets of individuals that, you know, enjoyed the, you know, the sporting traditions of woodcock, but they are passionate about it, and they live it and breathe it during their hunting season, which is a lot later than what ours are. Theirs is December through the, usually the first of February, you know, 45 days. But it is very exciting to have these people on board with us.
Over and above that, you know, not only does the American Woodcock Society expand habitat efforts to landscapes that may not have grouse populations, do you also see the creation of AWS as recognizing and enhancing some of the existing woodcock benefits that the organization has been doing for a long time in the north?
You bet. Matt, I believe, you know, the Rough Grouse Society has always been the go-to organization when it comes to grouse and woodcock. There are other people out there that saying, you know, what has the Rough Grouse Society, you know, done for woodcock, not knowing, you know, what we do. When they investigate, they're like, oh, you've done this. And I think with the AWS, I think, you know, we will be the go-to organization because of what we bring to the table for the scientific data on the woodcock, you know, for the whole program that we can bring to the table versus some other groups have talked about it or dabbled in it. You know, we're not a dabbler. We're into it. We've been into it. And we will continue to be supporting this effort.
And that would include the existing infrastructure that the Rough Grouse Society has, I would assume, you know, biologists, degreed biologists, equipment on the ground, things like that. We're already creating that habitat, so.
You bet. We, you know, our biologists have been attending the national, the Wingbee, and it travels to different states. And this year, so happened to be in Texas, and we had our biologist come down. Andy White came down, spoke at the banquet, was involved with the local woodcock state biologists in Louisiana and some of the past people that have supported the woodcock and the Rough Grouse Society, and he attended the Wingbee. And so, again, back to what we say is this structure has already been built. You know, we're already rolling with it, and the knowledge that we're able to bring to the table is outstanding.
Now, I understand that you recently held the inaugural American Woodcock Society banquet down in the Baton Rouge area just recently. How did that go?
This chapter, if you were to add up all the existing years that they've had a function, we would be about the 23rd year. But the past few years, we've had it's called the Louisiana Woodcock Chapter Baton Rouge. But what happened this year is they were the kickoff. They were the first chapter to have the American Woodcock Society chapter, and it was called the Bacoss Chapter. It's French for woodcock, the Bacoss chapter in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it was very exciting. We more than doubled our attendance. The participation was phenomenal, the excitement that was created. We had Louisiana Paradise, a TV show down there, and also a podcast down there. They did some filming of us. They've been there before at our banquet, great supporters of us. So we have a lot of support in the area. And since that banquet was held, I've had numerous phone calls about people wanting to help out and talking to their friends, and we're going to start kicking off some other meet and greets and chapters as we move north and west and east of this area. And the committee is very supportive of this because they want more than just one in the area, because they know the more chapters that they have, the more dollars that can be raised, you know, for the state as far as habitat funds.
Woodcock hunting in general, some people say, you know, they're not as great of a game bird as a grouse. I know you've been woodcock hunting for a long time. What is it about the woodcock specifically, or woodcock hunting, that makes you love hunting those birds?
I start out, you know, for the year, I always start out, you know, the grouse opener usually opens 1 week before woodcock. So that opener that week, you know, I'm very into grouse. Then after that, when the woodcock season opens, I always focus myself on woodcock, which upsets some of my friends. I focus on woodcock because I can always, you know, a grouse is a bonus. I don't particularly go out just for grouse. I go out for woodcock because it's a migratory bird. The season is 45 days, so I figure if I concentrate on a woodcock, I will still get grouse because the habitat coincides with each other. that I can usually get both. And then after the woodcock is gone and migrated down south and the season has ended, then I'll concentrate on grouse. But to me, the grouse, you know, is a great bird. It's a challenging bird, a tough bird, a great bird for your dog to work on, the best table fare bird, I really believe, that's out there. But a woodcock has this other thing that it's very hard to describe. It's a unique bird. They're quirky, and maybe that's why I like them, but they're quirky. Usually your dogs, if you're hunting with pointing dogs, it's a great bird for your dog to cut its teeth on, to break into, you know, a grouse dog. And usually it gives your dog a little bit more opportunity to get some dog work with the woodcock versus a grouse. And I think all those factors are going to one, and that's why I have a strong passion for it.
Another thing about woodcock that I think is important is it's a good bird to maybe start youth hunting on. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? And have you had the chance to do that, to get youth on woodcock? Because maybe the numbers are a little higher. It's easier. They're easier to find.
Matt, you had a great point there. It's a great bird to start youth on. I was part of a hunt a year ago with my hunting partner. He has some twins, and getting them out upland bird hunting, and they were able to get a woodcock. When the leaves are down and you have a nice pointing dog that's able to hold the birds for you, you can get your kids involved, because there's nothing more disappointing to a youth when it comes to grouse or woodcock hunting or any hunting that they're not able to hit anything. So they get disappointed, they get frustrated, and then it's hard for them to get in that passion, because you're trying to teach them about the sporting traditions. You're trying to teach them about being outside. You're trying to teach them about being with your friends and the whole process, and it has nothing to do with the bag limit. But when you're teaching a youth at a very young age, trying to tell them that it's not important to walk 2 or 3 hours and not get anything in your bag, they kind of get a little tired and their legs get a little short. But if they're able to get a couple shots off, and by the way, you know, hit a woodcock, I watched the eyes of these young men light up, and it was a pretty exciting part. And I've been part of this up here. I've been part of this down south in Louisiana when I was taking out some youths. We've taken them out for their first woodcock hunt and able to get a bird, and the joy that it brought them, and it was just infectious.
We're trying to make a concerted effort to get youth hooked in everything we do with the RGS, mm-hmm. RGS mission. What's your philosophy on youth and getting youth more involved with grouse and woodcock?
Well, one of the things that really caught my eye, and this was some years ago, was over in Bemidji, Minnesota. They have a thing called take a youth fishing, and they have all these guides, and they take these kids fishing, and year after year they take these kids fishing, and now the guides that are taking kids fishing are the original kids that were getting taken out in these boats, and how big a deal it is. And I say to myself, okay, that's pretty important. And I said to myself, well, why don't we mentor kids? We have to give up sportsmen. We have to give up some of our time, whether it be half a day, a full day, a weekend. Somewhere along that line, you're going to have to say to yourself, you know what? It's not about me. It's about giving something back, paying something for it, and taking these kids out, or adults that haven't done it. And I try to participate in that. We have, I've done this numerous times in one-on-one. Grab one person. If everybody were to grab one person and do this, it would be outstanding, the amount of success we would all have.
Now, if there are folks that want to do that, if there are people who want to give back, you know, members or mm-hmm. people in the public who want to get more involved in the Rough Grouse Society or the American Woodcock Society, what is the best way for them to do that?
I would say contact your local chapter, contact your banquet chairman and say, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I'd like to take out anybody this year, you know, grouse and woodcock hunting. If you have any names, put them my way. And then also you can, you know, copy your regional director in your area. Right now there's nothing as far as formal getting out there other than just getting the word out there. And I think, you know, as regional directors, as biologists, as staffing, you can say that, you know, if anybody's interested in being a mentor or would like, do you know somebody that would like to participate in this, we can get the names out there. And I think we'd be surprised how well this is accepted.
I think that's right. I think RGS regional directors and biologists, field staff in general, are a really great contacts for people to get a hold of if they want to get more involved in the organization. The regional folks are really experts in their area with great contacts in the world of grouse, woodcock, and habitat creation. So I think that's great. Mark, that's about all the time we have today. Great conversation. There's a lot of good things happening with the Rough Grouse Society and the American Woodcock Society. So I want to thank you for your time and help.
You're welcome, Matt, and thank you. And I look forward to many more podcasts. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for listening to the Drummer Podcast from the Rough Grouse Society in association with the American Woodcock Society. Find out more at roughedgrousesociety.org.